It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Do you have a library card? And when is the last time that you used it? Tomorrow we'll talk about the problems that plague public libraries and what it takes to keep those doors open. But we'd love to include your library stories as part of our discussion. So call us at 404-500-9457 to share your stories and be sure to join us Thursday at 9 a.m. for more. Call it a fib, a fiction, a white lie, or a fish story. Storytelling has long been a part of Southern culture, and sometimes that means telling stories, if you know what I mean. The second annual Big Fibber Storytelling Festival starts tomorrow in Rome, Georgia. 14 skilled liars from all around the state will tell a 5-minute tall tale. The most believable will be crowned the new Big Fibber champion. Here to tell us more about the event and how to lie like a Southerner is Terrell Shaw. He's the president of the Ridge and Valley Storytelling Guild. Good morning, Terrell.
Hey, good morning, Celeste. It's so good to be with you.
It's good to be with you as well, though I can't tell if you're telling the truth about that.
Well, I tell you, I don't know if you can tell anything about me right now. I'm sleep-deprived and floating on a stream of strong coffee and trying to get the last-minute details ready for this festival that starts tomorrow, but we're going to have a big time.
All right. Also with us is Adam Booth, 4-time West Virginia Liars Contest champion and teaches Appalachian Studies at Shepherd University. Thanks for joining us, Adam, if that is your real name.
You'll have to ask my parents, and they might not even tell you.
Terrell, how exactly does a liars competition, well, I say liars, you guys say big fibbers. How does it work?
Oh, our founder, Debbie Brown, would never let us use the word lie. We're big fibbers, though. And the way it works, we have 14 fibbers going to get up and tell their tales. They've got 3 to 8 minutes to tell their tale. And we have a panel of judges who are going to listen to them and try to see who comes up with the very best tall tale.
Adam, how do you prepare for a competition like that? What are the skills that you can actually work on and improve?
Well, I think that it always helps to listen to liars. And some people might say, well, I don't know any, but the truth is you do. They're all around us. Listen to some liars. Also think about telling a story that maybe starts out in truth and slowly develop it into the lie or the big fib, as Tara might say. That's a good place to start.
Okay, so we have this mini competition for you guys, which I'm told you guys are prepared for.
Well, yes. Let's see.
All right, we have 3 fibbers who have recorded stories for us, and we want you to take a listen to each of them, and then we'll decide after they're all, if we've heard all of them, which one told the best story. Let's begin with Andy Offit. Irwin, he will MC this year's competition, but he's a Georgia native and a very well-known storyteller, and so this is a pretty high bar. Let's take a listen.
My Aunt Marguerite is 85 years old and only recently graduated from medical school. The way she and her friends explain it is like this. My girlfriend and I, our husbands have passed on, and we were tired of the bridge club and the garden club, so we all went back to medical school. There are 3 of us on staff. 2 of us went to Emory, but Mary Frances went to the Georgia College of Medicine in Augusta, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we opened up our hospital, and it's called Southern Old Lady Hospital. We hope you come and see us. We serve 2 purposes. We're a hospice for people who won't admit it, usually very conservative people, because the first time they ever heard the word hospice was from Bill Moyers on the PBS. So they think death and dying is a liberal issue. And we're the emergency room for the ashamed. Like, for example, Ray McFarlin has the asthma, and he had an albuterol inhaler in his pocket. And he was driving in town, and he took the inhaler to his mouth, and oh! But there was a Sucret lozenge in the barrel, and it went into his esophagus. And it wasn't going to dissolve because it was still in the raffle. So he came to our hospital. Now, we have an antebellum home that had been abandoned about 8 years that we bought for the hospital, but it has 2 magnolia trees on the side, so we only have to paint the front. And it came through our carport portico, which has an air hose bell that we got from Gene Cannon when he retired from his Pure Oil station. And kang, kang, and we rushed out to see what was going on. And Ray was, ooh. Well, Mary Frances practices holistic medicine and alternative cures, things you might not read about in the physician's desk reference. And she went into our
kitchen there, and she pulled out her favorite hot sauce. It's called Scorned Woman. And she poured it in one of those little paper cups, you know, like you get your ketchup in if you go to the Chick-fil-A, you know, those little cups. Of course, our little cups are medical supplies, so each one of them is $40. And she said, drink this down. And he was healed.
Okay, so that's, again, that's Andy Offit Irwin. Let's
and he was healed.
Let's begin with you, Adam. He told almost that entire thing in the voice, supposedly, of his grandmother. How does that affect the efficiency of a lie?
Well, I have to tell you, I know Andy, and I have worked with him, and I've heard him tell through the voice of Aunt Marguerite a number of times. And because he does it so well, because it sounds like a real person, an actual character, I guess I should say, because it is a real person, an actual character.
His Aunt Marguerite exists.
Yes. Okay. You feel that way. You know, you feel, oh, I know this person. She sounds like someone that I'm related to. And so you just kind of sink back a little bit into you relax your guard, I guess.
It's not a Jordan.
Tara, what about all the little details, like the describing the kind of paper cup that it was?
Oh, yeah. It's so important to get some details like that into it and paint a picture for us. You can overdo it, but it's great to have those details and going to bring that thing to life for us.
They really distract you from the lie, you know? The part about the lozenge that won't be dissolved because of the wrapper, you start to think, oh, yeah, that's right. It does work that way. And then you forget what the lie is.
Okay, let's take a listen to our second contestant and our youngest. This is now 12-year-old Courtney Hutcherson, reigning champion of the Young Tales Contest. She won at age 11. She will compete this week to defend her title. Here's her lie.
Has it smelled a really bad smell? No. Not the kind of smell like your friend just ate a bunch of pinto beans in the cafeteria. Something much worse. I've had to smell something much, much worse, and it all started with an innocent Easter egg hunt. My mom and her cousin Carla decided to have an Easter egg hunt at my grandparents' house for us kids. They hid exactly 25 eggs inside and outside of the house. We looked up and down. We looked under beds and behind bushes. We even looked under the family dog. We came up with exactly 24 eggs. Now, it was getting kind of late, and Carla suggested that we had just miscounted the eggs in the first place. That sounded reasonable, so we called it a day and went home. We went to visit my grandparents again 3 to 4 weeks later. My granddaddy was sitting in his recliner just a-fussing and complaining about something. That smell, my room stinks, and I cannot sleep at night. You kids have to get in here and help me find that smell. If you don't get rid of that smell, I'll go insane. I thought he was already going insane. We went into his room to investigate. When we opened his door, a harsh drop-dead stench filled the area. We sniffed on the ground like bloodhounds. Sniff, sniff. I didn't know my grandmother could get down like that. My nose led me to encyclopedias. Encyclopedia H and Encyclopedia I were making an arch. I regret this, but I reached my hand into the arch and pulled out a nasty, disgusting, green and black egg. Or at least it used to be an egg. I threw the egg over my shoulder as fast as I could and took off running. I didn't know it right away, but the egg ended up hitting my granddad in the head. Gross, gross, I screamed. I ran all the way back to the backyard, wiping my hand on the grass. Gross, gross, gross. My granddad followed with his hand stuck to his head. He was flailing and screaming, ew, ew, ew. Let's just say that my big old mountain man granddad screams like a girl. When we got back inside, my grandmother said that she had burned the encyclopedias and bleached herself. The moral from this story? Well, if you hunt for Easter eggs inside, make sure they're plastic. Granddaddy learned to lock his door when we were coming over, and I learned not to stick your hand in dark places that stink. I can still feel the egg oozing from my fingers. Gross, gross, gross.
Okay, now, your judge is here. You can't be swayed by cuteness.
That is, I think you can.
That is 12-year-old Courtney Hutcherson, reigning champion of the Young Tales Contest. Tara, what did we hear that there that makes her a good fibber?
Oh, she is such a wonderful fibber. Such great expression. such real, we talk about pictures, you know, she's painting real pictures for us. I can see that, granddad. And I'm afraid this is grossly unfair because I've traveled the Civic Club circuit the last few weeks with Courtney and hearing her tell that story. So
you are very biased.
She does a fantastic job. I'm very biased.
Adam, there's a couple things that I heard that she did differently. There's a moment where she was kind of searching for the number 24 eggs as mm-hmm. though she was trying to call it up from her memory. Is that a skill that you can kind of develop?
Yeah, what she's done in this story that works really nicely is that she's planted a hook into it. We know that there are 25 eggs, and they found 24. So we're attached into the story in that part. Wanted to know what's going to come up next so that we're hanging on to where the story is going to go. She does that really nicely. I think that she also had some really nice literary elements in this story, you know, the use of metaphor, simile. I like Tara was saying, she said they sniffed on the ground like bloodhounds.
Yeah, and then she went.
So we get these clear images that keep the story going.
Okay, we've got one more contestant here, and this is the reigning Big Fibbers Contest champion, Tracy Walker. She will compete to defend her title this week. Will she succeed? Here she is.
Cecil Smith is the owner of the largest dairy farm in Dawsonville, and I'm a librarian. And he comes into the library every week to check out picture books. And I thought he was checking them out to read to his grandkids, but it turns out that he reads them to his cows in the morning so they don't get fidgety when he's milking them. So knowing this, we started a ritual. And every Tuesday, I'd drop off picture books on my way into work, and Cecil would give me a gallon of milk in exchange. And it went on like that, Tuesday after Tuesday, until one Tuesday when the milk he gave me was really sour. And I took it back, and he apologized, and he said that he was going to get to the bottom of whatever was going on. And so I went into work, and it was a regular day until it was time to go home, and I walked out to the parking lot with my bun and my sensible shoes neatly in place. And that's when I saw her, a black and white spotted bovine leaning across the hood of my Ford Taurus. She had that bottle of bad milk in one hoof, and with the other hoof, she slid the copy of Babar the Elephant across the hood of my car that I had let them borrow. And when I picked up the book, a note fell out, and the handwriting was atrocious, so it looked like somebody with no opposable thumbs had written the whole thing, and the note said, "The book wasn't very good either." And then she poured that whole bottle of bad milk over the top of my head. Well, I did the only thing I could think of to do. I turned, and I ran, and I dove inside our break room, and I stood there stunned. And when I finally came to, I laid the copy of Babar on our break room table, and I walked over to our little toaster oven that we have, and I set it to 10 minutes, and then I stuck my bun inside to dry. And as I was standing there, I began thinking about the events that had just transpired, and I could feel the tears welling up in my eyes, and then they started running down my cheeks, and there I was, ignoring the elephant in the room and crying over spilled milk with a bun in the oven, and wondering why. Why would all this happen to a librarian? And then it hit me. Happened.
Okay, that is Tracy Walker. Easy to see she's a reigning Big Fibbers Contest champion. So we've got a few minutes left here. Terrell, what did we hear here that makes her so good?
Oh, just that, definitely that prize, wonderful ending, you know.
She's all choked up.
Prize for us at the end. Lots of fun.
Adam?
I got to tell you, I know Tracy also. This is, I guess, lying is a small world.
I guess so.
What I think that works really well in this story is that she has provided us with this juxtaposition of ideas. You know, we think of the librarian as being the rule follower. And as the story unfolds, she becomes this character, almost a caricature, you know, of just the opposite. So by the time we get to the end, she's built up this story that it just zings us right at the end. We're stung when she unfolds or unrolls all of these idioms at the end that we weren't quite sure why those details were in there. And then she gives it to us with one big sucker punch at the end. It's good.
All right, it is time, gentlemen. Terrell Shaw and Adam Booth, of the three that we heard, who wins? What was the best lie?
Oh, man, you know that my vote has to go with my little girl.
Courtney? Okay, Terrell votes for 12-year-old Courtney Hutcherson and the stinky egg. Adam?
See, I was going to recuse myself from judging Andy since I know him, but then since I know Tracy also, it would only be fair if I put my vote for Courtney since I don't know her.
By unanimous vote, you just made my producer, Linda Chen, very, very happy. She was going with the cute entrant alto. That is Terrell Shaw, president of Ridge and Valley Storytelling Guild, Adam Booth, four-time West Virginia Liars Contest champion and professor at Shepherd University. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
The second annual Big Fibbers Storytelling Festival starts tomorrow, and it runs through Saturday at Berry College in Rome, Georgia. You can learn more by visiting bigfibbers.com.